Hello, everyone, and welcome back for those of you that were with us the first hour, and welcome to for those of you just joining us to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom is the genius Sean Flanagan. You like that?
I guess that'll work.
Oh, you do? You like that? Well, that's a big sign that you held up at the escape room. So
I was
told to
hold it up, though.
But, well, you did it, and you liked it. Yeah, he is very quick when it comes to solving puzzles, folks. Remember that. All right, this hour of the show, we are shifting gears. In the first hour, we had Diane Williams from Diane Williams & Associates on to tell us about the real estate climate here in the Coachella Valley, which is amazing, doing really, really well. So if you need somebody who knows the business where the other agents look up to her, then certainly pick Diane Williams & Associates. So we talked about that. We talked about some events going on. We talked about our adventure at the Escape Room in Palm Springs, which is a lot of fun. We talked about the Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach. I went to the very first show on Friday night, an incredible show. Like I said, my favorite show so far. I've liked them all, but this one I liked even more, probably because I could relate to the California aspect of it and being a California gal. And they also showed more behind the scenes on how the people step into the photos and more video and just overall just really a lot of fun. So definitely you want to do that. So we covered a lot of stuff in the first hour. This hour we are shifting gears again towards travel, and we're going to have Jason Cohn from Hawaii call us to talk about what is going on for tourists over there, how the volcano, which we never hear about anymore. Now, even it's still, I'm sure it's still flowing lava, but no one even seems to say anything because we have all these terrible wildfires and whatnot going on across the country. But we'll see what is happening tourism-wise in Hawaii. All right, this hour of the show is same as the first hour, is brought to you by Command One Security, keeping your home and business safe for over 35 years here in the Coachella Valley. They have the latest technology if you want it. If you want something super simple, they're happy to do that for you as well. So give them a call at Command One Security. And all that information is on the Traveling with Françoise website. And you can always call the show, too, if you want to win a prize. I have some Ariel Palm Springs tram tickets, and I also have those TSA bottles to give away later on the show. And that number, write it down or put it in your phone or somewhere, 760-440-8255. Right, we were talking about the fires, and the weather is hot, hot, hot. My car registered 125 the other day right here in Cathedral City. But as far as what's going on in the world, not really good. Collapsing polar ice caps, a green Sahara Desert, a 20-foot sea level rise. That's the potential future of the Earth, a new study suggests, because of global warming. And you have to admit, though, Sean, we are seeing numbers across the country that these people have never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
We hit a record, didn't we, in Palm Springs?
Yeah, I guess we did hit a record here.
Well, it tied the record is what
it did.
Tied
the record. I know there's still weather in Oregon and up in our towards Canada and whatnot, where the weather is still in the 70s and 80s,
right,
which even they complain about the 80s. They don't like the 80s here, so they don't want them up there. Anyway, it is getting hot across the board. They say the changes, the experts are saying the changes we see today are much faster than anything encountered in Earth's history, which is a little scary. This could mean that the landmark Paris Climate Agreement, which seeks to limit global warming to 2 degrees Celsius, may not be enough to ward off this catastrophe. The research also revealed how large areas of the polar ice cap could collapse and significant changes to the ecosystems, such as seeing the Sahara Desert turn green and the edges of the tropical forest then turn into fire-dominated savannas. I mean, it's just crazy what is going on out there. So I don't know. What do you do? I mean, there's not much, a whole lot we can do about it. But maybe global warming, these countries that still don't abide by global warming, I don't know. Somebody's got to talk to them, because it's we're used to it. But
right.
I have to say, I think mentally going when I went to Laguna Beach, I was thinking in my mind it's going to be cooler, just cooler. And it was not cooler. It was hot and humid
Right. Until
the sun went down. And then it even didn't get cold. I think I got in the car. It was still 78 at 10:30 or so, which is definitely cooler.
Right. But it's still not cool.
Not cool. I had to laugh. I saw people that were bringing sweaters thinking it's going to be cold. Yeah, they never put them on. But it was a beautiful, great show. So anyway, it's hot everywhere. It's just hot everywhere. So just be careful out there, okay? All right, ACT Tours, we have some big news about them. They are moving their office on August 1st. They are moving off of Palm Canyon at the northern end of Palm Springs. They are moving now to the Plaza at Sunrise Executive Suites, 555 South Sunrise Way in Palm Springs at the corner of Ramon Road and Sunrise Way. So that is where you will find adult customized tours. They say the parking's better. They have restaurants around there. They're really excited about the move. And I just posted this on their Facebook page, which is ACT Tours. And definitely I've changed it over on Traveling with Francoise. So you only need to go there. You know, sometimes you go there to catch the bus because they have a bus that leaves out of Palm Springs, and you don't really need to go to the office very often. You can do everything with them over phone, over the computer, whatnot. But it's good to, it's fun every now and then to go in and just see people and talk to them. I also went to an ACT Travel Club of the Desert, their ice cream social. Okay, it's 100 gazillion degrees. The place was packed. I mean, where'd everybody come from? I'm finding the valley is a lot busier this summer.
It is. It's very busy.
Yeah. I mean, there's cars. And here's another thought, too. Coming home from Pageant of the Masters on the freeway at midnight, lots of cars on the freeway. Where are all these people going at midnight?
I don't know. I feel like whenever I leave, there's always people around.
Yeah, there is. Every time of the day now. Maybe at 2 or 3 in the morning, maybe not so much. And what was scary is there were the fires that were up on the mountains. To see those fires, like I said earlier in the first hour, it was beautiful, but whew, really scary when you think about it. Lots of fires out there. So be very, very careful out there in your travels, because this summer is going to be the busiest travel summer on record. There are people going, look how many people we know took off the entire week for 4th of July. They just figured, what the heck? It's in the middle of the week. Why go to work?
It definitely screwed things up for me.
Yeah, me too.
It felt like a weekend. And then, like Friday going into the weekend, felt like a Sunday for some reason, the weekend starts. Yeah.
And you said, am I supposed to be at the station?
Yeah, I was very confused. I've been confused by the last 4 days.
So. Yeah, it is. And people, I work a lot with PR people and marketing for guests and just everything that I do here with the show. And a lot of them just, they take off whenever chance they get.
Yeah.
And it was like talking to myself all week long when it came to business. So I got nothing done business-wise. I did get caught up on some things at home, but yeah, it's been a strange week. So there are a lot of stuff happening out there in the world of travel, but here's something that might interest you. This is in Temecula, the Lorimar Winery in Temecula, and this just kind of caught my eye. On Thursday, July 12th, they're hosting an axe-throwing evening. Yes. They are letting you unleash your inner lumberjacks and Janes in a fun evening of axe throwing, beer, wine, and food.
It sounds like it all mixes well.
Yeah. Axes and wine and stuff, yeah. I don't know. Tickets are on sale. What are the cost of the tickets? I don't see it on here. I don't think it's that much, though. But if you want to go, it's 951-694-6699. I'm sure there's going to be competition. They're going to give lessons on how to throw an axe. So it's, you know, we might need it when the big earthquake hits.
Right.
Yeah. Or
it all goes primitive.
Yeah, right. When we don't have any of the electric, we'll run out of gas and all that. So anyway, Lorimar's Winery Gourmet Mobile Kitchen will be there with food. So there you go. If you've never been to an axe throwing event, now is your chance to join one in Temecula, which is just, you know, not that far away. Okay, I think on that note, we will step aside. When we come back, we have some travel industry news to talk about. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. You'll find Diane Williams and Associates on site at Indian Ridge Country Club in Palm Desert and serving the entire Coachella Valley. So whether you are buying or selling, Diane Williams and their team of professionals offers experience you can trust to begin that next chapter in your life. 760-776-7070. That's 776-7070 or on the web at DianeWilliamsAndAssociate.com.
Music.
back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. All right, we have some industry news to get to you, brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. Give them a call today. All their programs are free over there, 760-321-1111. They're located in Rancho Mirage. They have their computer room. They have their audio library. They have their kitchen. So much great stuff over at the Braille Institute. So take advantage of it. All right, and we also have a plastic case of four plastic TSA-approved carry-on travel, little plastic travel bottles for you. You will have to pick those up in the station. If you would like to win those, they're a great gift, too, for someone you know who's traveling. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. All right. Industry news here for those of you that want to know, be in the know, airline evacuations. Yes. An appellate court ruling last year ordering the FAA to review seat sizes and the distance between rows on commercial planes won't result in the agency setting new standards. The agency said that after conducting a new review of the issue, it has concluded evacuation efficiency is constrained by emergency exits, not the density of the seats, which I find very interesting. They say the time it takes passengers to get out of their seats, even if those seats are relatively narrow and close together, is less than the time it takes for the emergency exits to begin functioning and for the line that begins forming in the aisle to clear. I don't know. I don't disagree. Have you watched people try to get out of those seats?
Not in a long time.
Okay.
But it's not. It's
not,
it's
quick.
All nonsense.
Yeah.
It's just big money that says, no, we're going to keep this because we need to sell this money.
It has to be, because those narrow rows now that in front of you, your leg room is basically non-existent.
Right.
And then you put a bag down in front of you, then you might as well just put your knees up on the seat in front of you. But for people to try to stand up and get out, I just can't believe that the narrowness of the seats does not affect the quickness of that.
No, it does.
It does, yeah. And then they're saying, well, then if the people are taking that long to open the emergency exits, then something's wrong there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're having a hard time getting up, too.
Yeah, but that's why you have those people sitting right next to the door.
Yeah.
With a little bit more leg room, that is their job to open them.
Right.
And they're asked if they can do that, and they said, yes, we can. So I don't know. This whole thing, I'm reading it saying, what? So, yeah, I guess all the airlines don't want to reconfigure their seats. So.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Delta on Monday unveiled its first retrofitted Boeing 777 on a flight from Detroit to Beijing. The airline intends to update all 18 of its 777s by the end of the year. It features the all-suite Delta One business class as well as the Delta Premium Select Cabin, which bridges the gap between the carrier's business class and coach products. They have these little suites for everybody. It says Delta One, including 28 Delta One suites and 48 premium select seats that also have the internet and all this sort of stuff on them. They have 220 coach seats are laid out, 9 across. So I was looking at the picture because there's no way you can have 9 seats in a row. You can't. How is the person in the middle ever going to get out of there? So instead of doing the standard 3-4-3 count, where there's 3 by the window, 4 in the middle, and 3 on the other side, they went to 2-4-3. And I don't understand how that's going to make it any more efficient than it was before. Yeah. So that's the way they have their new seat configuration, which is, and some of them have a 10 across configuration in the economy cabin. So I don't know. I haven't figured out. They're just trying to come up with different ways to make it look like there's more room, but there really isn't any more room. And just get more people in there.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be... I guess it wouldn't be easier.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have one whole row either, so they have to break them up. So as for the 5 across, or the 10 across, I guess they could do 5 and 5, but I don't think they'll do that either. So anyway, that's what's happening with Boeing. So when you get on a Delta, you might see some new configurations. Boeing now... This one, I'd love to go in this. Boeing has revealed a preliminary design for a passenger airline that could travel as fast as Mach 5. Flying that fast could get passengers anywhere in the world in 3 hours.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. But they say still don't start making plans for your day trip to Singapore just yet. They say that such an aircraft will be operational in 20 to 30 years. The technology would likely first find its way into the military system before we ever got a chance to be on that. So, I don't know, doing my math here. Okay, might be a little old for that. The Concorde, which thus far is the fastest passenger aircraft to take to the skies, had a maximum speed of approximately Mach 2.
So it'd be a little faster.
A little faster, huh? Mach 5. Why'd you can match the engine noise when that thing takes off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So there you go. Something to plan for. Start saving up. What I was talking about, that space hotel out there.
Yeah, I'd say you're saving up for the moon or something already.
Yeah, $80,000 down for that one. There's a waiting list for that, and the whole trip is $9.2 million. It'll go down, though, after people start going back and forth. The price will drop.
I love that you can pay $80,000 on a $9 million tab.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's down payment, sure. And then they get to just think the interest they get on that for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. All right, workers at Chicago hotels now have panic buttons to summon help if needed. An ordinance that took effect this week requires hotels to provide the buttons. They're intended to protect housekeeping staff and others who work alone in guest rooms from sexual harassment and other crimes. The survey of 500 workers concluded by Unite Here Local 1 found 58% reported they've experienced at least one incident of sexual harassment by guests. And what do you think the most common one is? What do you think, Sean?
What the common...
The most common sexual harassment occurrence is?
Against the maid?
Against the maid. Housekeeping, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's...
Opening the door naked.
Yeah, well...
Really?
But I've never opened a door for a maid. I feel like they always just barge in.
Oh, really? Well, I have mine locked and padded. And
I do, too,
stuff.
And I feel like they're just knocking and knocking and knocking.
You know what? If you don't put... Here's a tip, a travel tip, folks. If you don't want them to disturb you, they will not even bother you with housekeeping if you have the Do Not Disturb sign out.
Yeah, I always put mine out.
Right. They're not supposed to bother you. They will have the front desk call you and say they have a... your meal or something, they're waiting outside for it.
Right.
Do you want to accept it? And they will or whatever, but or a package or whatever. But they're not supposed to. Put your Do Not Disturb sign out. I always put it out. But anyway, yeah, and don't be opening the door naked, really. They're not interested. The buttons trigger a message to the cell phone of the employee's supervisor, manager in Human Resources Department, and it provides the employee's name and location, and they send someone over right away. So watch out. They're going to put an end to all that stuff. All right. Funds are being raised to build a standalone museum on Liberty Island to lay out the history of the Statue of Liberty. Of course, that activist was sitting on the Statue of Liberty the other day, and it ruined trips for so many people.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because they had to shut down the Statue of Liberty to get this gal off of there who was rallying against immigration. And I felt really bad for, there were some families there that had planned that trip with their kids for years.
Right.
And they get there, and then they can't go on because of this person.
So was the person in the way, or was it safety?
It was safety because they had the police and firemen they had to climb up on the Statue of Liberty to get her off. She wouldn't come down. So because of the boats and stuff, the firemen, they just didn't want, in case something happened, anybody on the island.
I think they should just leave. They should have just left her.
Yeah, let her sit
there. You know how hard it is to protest something when nobody's paying attention to you?
Yeah. I mean, and I understand her cause, but really, what she ruined for so many people, they will not remember or have any clue what she was protesting about. I felt really bad about that. The museum, of course, the Statue of Liberty is a gift from France in 1886 to commemorate the alliance between France and the U.S. during the Revolutionary War. The copper-clad statue is officially called Liberty Enlightening the World. That is the official name of the Statue of Liberty. Liberty Enlightening the World. It gained a symbolic significance to immigrants because it was often the first site in America to those arriving from Europe. So one of the shipping companies that brought immigrants past the statue was the Cunard Line, founded by Samuel Cunard, ironically the son of a timber merchant who had fled the American Revolution to live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And anyway, his family now purchased Carnival and whatnot, so it is a family that is starting this this fundraising. So good for them. And I think they'll probably do well. I think there should be a museum of the Statue of Liberty out there. I'm surprised to read that, frankly, there isn't one. So there you go. News on that one. And Carnival Cruise Line will make San Diego its 15th home port in the continental United States, stationing the Carnival Miracle there in December of 2019. The deployment will be seasonal through February 2020. The ship will offer a variety of itineraries ranging from 3 to 15 days. 3-day cruise is your best way to start a cruise. You know, a week at the max if you've never been on one, just so you get an idea what it's all about. But go to one of those where you drive over to the port, and you're going to have a lot of fun. Carnival last sailed from San Diego 7 years ago, but its fleet is growing, and they will be in San Diego next year. So good for everybody to go down there. I've been on a lot of cruises out of San Diego, Long Beach, San Pedro. So it is nice when you don't have to fly somewhere and worry about lugging all that stuff around, and then especially if you have to spend a night, one night layover to get to your cruise ship.
Right.
Because then you have to pack this extra bag.
Just for that
one. Just for that one night. All right. And remember, family vacations are all the rage. Here's a few tips. Pick a family-friendly destination. Do your research. Find out about popular destinations for families include Montego Bay, Jamaica, Cancun, Mexico, Rome, and Dublin, Ireland. And seek accommodations or cruise lines that have lots of kid-friendly amenities. Remember that. Forget about you. Think about those kids, because if you keep them busy, then you can relax and have more fun. Use a travel agent if you certainly need one, because they can help coordinate everything for you. Pack light. Opt to use laundry services rather than bring a lot of clothes. Reserve tickets for attractions or tours way in advance. That is so important, or you will never get anywhere at this stage with all the people traveling. And be flexible. If it rains, a museum exhibit is canceled, or the kids just need a nap, be prepared to adapt to your itinerary. All right. On that note, we have some other stuff, and I'm going to hold off on that. We're going to step aside, and Jason should be calling us from Hawaii. If not, we have his number. We're going to try to track him down, and we'll find out about what the travel climate is all about in Hawaii. So stick around. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. All right. As promised, joining us is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Hawaii Forest and Trail, also the General Manager of Kahala Zipline, and that is Jason Cohn. Hi, Jason.
Aloha, Francoise.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Well, fine. Fantastic. All right. I was really excited to have you on the show because I have a lot of listeners who are actually in Hawaii right now. They're sending pictures, and the news has changed so much. Of course, the volcano was in the news night after night after night for several weeks, but now we don't even hear a whisper about it. So let's start a little bit with your business so we can understand how people this ties into people visiting the islands. Exactly what do you have business-wise there in Hawaii?
Yeah, so we're an eco-tour company. We've been operating in Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii for 25 years. And we do all types of ground tours all over the island. What we specialize in is interpretive guiding and access to private and restricted lands. So our tours do everything from bird watching to waterfall hikes to taking people to some of the Mauna Kea. And then, of course, we've been operating tours to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park for the past 25 years. A wide variety of things all over the island of Hawaii.
Well, then this is so great that we're talking, Jason, because of course at first, you know, the media can be such a help and such a hindrance too. It twofold there. Once they start reporting, of course, they'll only show a certain area, the devastation in one area, and forget about everything else. So why don't you, as a business owner there, owner operator, give us an overview of how is the volcano, the eruptions affecting the tourist destination, the touristy areas of Hawaii?
Yeah, so it's interesting, as you mentioned, you know, the media coverage, you know, doesn't necessarily tell the whole story, or doesn't give a lot of context to how this affects the whole island, right? So you might see things in the media like, you know, island rocked by 500 earthquakes in one day. But while it's true, 500 earthquakes had been detected in one day, 450 of them are not even something that can be felt by humans. And the other 50 are only felt in a small area of the island, so only on the volcano where the actual eruption is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the eruption, essentially, another thing to keep in mind is the eruption has been, Kilauea has been erupting consecutively for over 30 years now. What happened essentially was one site that had been erupting for about 34 years, suddenly something got plugged up underground. And that vent was called Pu'u'o'o, and the lava evacuated from that vent. And what happens is sometimes when that happens, the lava moves down slope and will just pop out of the side of the mountain down slope because of all the pressure. And it's kind of helpful to think about all this in similar to plumbing. You know, if you have too much pressure on a pipe, a pipe's going to burst. Mm-hmm. And volcano is not much different. It has its own plumbing underground. And so one of those underground pipes that carries lava burst down slope. And so the eruption moved from an area that had been, you know, very stable for the past 34, 35 years and popped out, unfortunately, in the middle of a place that had been developed and was where people were living. There were plenty of warning signs that the lava was going to pop out, earthquakes, earth cracking, gas coming out of those cracks. So everyone was able to evacuate safely, but unfortunately, a lot of homes have been lost in the southeast region of the island.
And really, basically, when you think about it, it's the same of all of us who live on earthquake faults. I mean, we're just, something will eventually happen. It's just Mother Nature. It's just the world. I mean, it's the earth that we live on. It's, things are going to happen, and we build on these sites, and eventually something does happen. Now, has the lava flow, because we don't even see it in the news anymore here in California and across the country. I've been traveling and haven't seen it in the news there either. Has the flow subsided quite a bit, the lava flow?
No, so that's the interesting thing, you know. The lava is pretty much doing what it's been doing, in a sense. It stabilized in, you know, in the beginning it was popping, there was all these new fissures opening up. But the biggest one, you know, has been fountaining, you know, 200 feet, very dramatic, you know, up to 200 feet in the air, and throwing a massive amount of material downhill. That's still happening. It's just that, you know, it's the flow has channelized, and it's basically formed a river from the fissure to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the homes that were in the path of that channel, were destroyed, the homes, yeah, and property. And now, you know, it is, there's still, you know, houses, you know, here and there along the coast that it's creeping up on and destroying, but it's not destroying a massive amounts of new property. So I think the news media has just kind of lost interest in the story or moved on.
Right, and moved on.
But really, the volcano continues to erupt. It's just more like it was before. You know, the previous vent that I mentioned, Pu'u'o'o, that was erupting for 30 years, there were homes in the way of that, too, and mm-hmm, all those homes got destroyed. And after a while, People forget about that part, and then they want to go see the lava, right? And so if anybody's been to Hawaii and gone to see red hot lava, you know, this isn't much different than that, other than, you know, the volume is higher. It's much more spectacular. And I'm not encouraging anybody to go see the lava right now because the area is still closed to the public.
Right.
But it's really the situation's kind of starting to stabilize, starting to normalize. And we're kind of back to the old paradigm that we've always had. Where there's an erupting volcano. There's lava moving down to the ocean. And we're life is normal for the rest of us.
For the rest of you. Now how has that been translating into dollars as far as the business goes? You see the visitors, of course, everybody was frightened at first. And I'm sure there was a lull in business for perhaps maybe a month, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But now are you seeing business getting back to normal?
Yes, we are. It's another busy summer for us. Up at Kohala Zipline, we've been sold out daily. So that's been a good thing. Unfortunately, there are some, you know, some businesses that their whole business is based around Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, and so, you know, they've been hit much harder than other companies. But people are coming back to the island because they realize that, you know, the island is the size of the state of Delaware, you know, larger than the state of Delaware. And this volcanic activity is only affecting an area of a few square miles. So people are realizing, oh, okay, it's still safe to go to the island. That's, you know, the dynamic. Mm-hmm. If you're in Kona, if you're in Hilo, you know, nothing's really changed. So yes, we are seeing the volume of visitors return, and that's been very exciting for us.
Well, that's so good to hear, because life is booked. I want to stress that there to those of you that might have panicked in the beginning and canceled your Hawaiian vacations. Don't just go, because I'm hearing from everybody that's going that they've had having a wonderful time. The weather's been gorgeous. How, Jason, as a businessman, are a lot of the business owners thinking how they can incorporate this eruption into actually a money-making deal? I mean, people are going to want to see it.
Yes. And it is an incredible thing to see. Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Right now, the only ways to experience it are by helicopter and by boat. You can do the ocean entry from a boat, or you can fly over the channelized lava flow and fissure from a helicopter. However, there's been a big push to get a public viewing area set up on the ground. Mm-hmm. And we feel confident that if this continues, if this eruption continues, that public access will be made on the ground. We just have to make sure that all the residents who've been displaced are taken care of first.
Right.
And then we will set up viewing on the I believe the county will set up viewing on the ground.
And that is such where that community, that close-knit community, comes into play and takes care of your own there first before you make it into a business venture. What would you like to say, Jason,
Absolutely.
To people that, listeners, this is a travel hour of the show. This is in Arizona and streaming live and whatnot. For those people that have been a little hesitant to book Hawaii, even though, like I say, I'm hearing nothing but rave reviews, what would you like to say to those people out there that just maybe have never been there and are thinking now might not be a good time to take our first trip to Hawaii, or people that remember it from many years ago and haven't been back? What would you say to them?
Yeah, so a couple of things. You know, it's important to realize that we have some of the world's greatest collection of volcanologists and geologists here on the island who we're already studying this volcano before this recent event, and they have all stated that the island is safe to come visit. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that if you come now, because of that the recent dip in travelers coming here that we experienced, you're going to find that as a visitor, you're going to be welcomed with open arms, and people are just so appreciative of those who are coming here to visit. So it's really going to be the VIP treatment for those who are Laura come in, because we do recognize that there's been a lot of misconceptions out there in the media, and we really appreciate those who have taken the time to do their research, understand what's going on, and realize that now is a great time to come.
And I would imagine there might be a few little discounts here and there, too, if people do their homework.
That's right.
All right. And, Jason, before we go, I'm looking at your zip lining. Tell us where we, if we go on Kohala Zip Line, what are we going to zip line over?
Yeah, so a lot of people might say, oh, I've been zip lining. Cool thing about Kohala Zip Line, we're more than a zip line. We're a full canopy adventure. So with us, from tree to tree, not platform to platform. You actually zip in the trees and through the canopy of a Hawaiian rainforest. So it's a really cool experience. 9 zip lines and then 5 sky bridges. And at the end, how do we get you out of the trees? We're going to teach you how to rappel. So it's a blast. Ages, you know, we've done everything from ages 7 all the way to a 90th birthday party, and people just love it. Rave reviews. I encourage people to check it out on TripAdvisor. It's nothing but 4- and 5-star reviews from all our guests. So it's a blast.
Well, I'm there. When I come to Hawaii, I'm looking you up, and I'm going to go zip lining because it sounds fantastic. Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And everybody, go to Hawaii. They're open for business with open arms, and it's beautiful over there. So take advantage of it. Jason, thanks again.
Thank you so much, Francois.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, well, there you have it, right from the island itself. And I like the fact that he was saying, you know, they knew this was going to happen. They had their volcanologists. Everybody knew what was going on. So this was no surprise for the islands. I mean, of course, and look, it happens everywhere. We think that areas become safe because something hasn't happened there, whether it's avalanches or earthquakes or whatever, or flooding. Look at all these homes, flooding devastation in the eastern part of the country, building in places that, you know what, they're just prone to flooding. So it happens. It's Mother Nature. So anyway, Hawaii is open for business. Go. I'm so excited to hear that. And folks, we're going to step aside for just a moment. When we come back, we have our question of the week and more. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. It's great to have you with us today as we wind up. We have, you know, just about a little less than 10 minutes of this show. I know you heard the commercial for B. Elson's there. They have been closed for the last week and will reopen on the 10th, just so you know. All right, we do have tickets for the tram also to give away. 2 passes for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. You cannot have one in the last 2 months, please. 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. I will mail these out to you. It is 30 degrees cooler up there at the top of the tram, so just think how nice that would be. All right, our travel question of the week. Everyone has a different threshold when it comes to the amount of time they spend away from home on vacation. So on what day of a trip do you start getting antsy to come home? Everybody is entered for a $25 gift card to Johnny Costa's Restaurante in Palm Springs. In my case, I don't know, through all the traveling we've done through, I'm just one of those, once I get going and I get into the groove of traveling, I'm not antsy to get home. Never have, even when on the boat and stuff, we get somewhere and I don't know, that's just me, even though I love my home and I love everything, but it's just, I just get into that mode of lifestyle, I guess that's how it is. So that's my, but maybe because I don't have a conventional 9-to-5 job either, which makes a difference.
But see, I don't either. And I make it feel, it feels like I always want to be home.
So you get antsy after.
But I don't go anywhere. So I guess I can't really say it because mine's just as soon as I leave to go to the store, I'm already telling Jan, like, okay, let's hurry up so we can get back home. And she's like,
what do you do when you go to Oregon?
I haven't been up there for a long time.
Okay, we need to send you on another road trip.
I haven't been anywhere.
Well, I think you're ready to go now. We broaden your horizons, I think.
Well, I think I'm going to New York in October, I think.
All right. Oh, that'll be awesome.
We'll see. I think I'm going to Woodstock.
Oh, no way. That would be fantastic.
I think. Well, that's what the area is called, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I guess they don't have that festival anymore. But anyway, well, good. All right. But so you're one of those. And now here's what some other people say. Thomas Rabin's Lam said the second to last day starts getting a little antsy to come home. Gary Schwartz said, I enjoy going on any vacation and don't get antsy to get home. I'm just sad the vacation has come to an end. So there you go. Yeah, that's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, I think the antsy would come when you know now you have to work towards a house.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when, because other than that, you shouldn't even be thinking about home. If you're having a good time, you shouldn't be thinking about home until it's time to, okay, I got to get up tomorrow for the airport at this time. That when you start to think through the trip home, that's when you should become antsy to get home.
And I know people, and I won't mention any names, but I know people that really have convinced themselves that they can be gone, and these are friends of mine, only 3 nights or 4 nights. To think of being gone for 7 nights just totally freaks them out. They just can't comprehend the fact that they would be gone away, even if it's to Europe or something, for longer than four nights.
I could see myself being like that.
You could see? Yeah, see.
I know, like in October, I think it's supposed to be for a weekend, and then I'm supposed to go somewhere in February that I'm like, oh, we're just going to do it for a weekend.
Sean, we'll keep working on them. Yeah. Janet, don't worry, we'll work on them. All right. And Angela Culberhouse says, about the third morning, I start missing my fur baby, starts missing her pet, and of course, my own bed. Then I start to worry about my home. There you go. So you start thinking about all that stuff. We live in a very rural area, prone to forest fires. In other words, I get homesick. So
yeah.
At least she was honest about it. But yeah, once you start, if you can really get yourself too worked up too about what's happening. Did I lock this? Did I leave that one commercial used to crack me up? That family that was on vacation somewhere and he left the window open and all the pigeons are going into his house. I thought that was hilarious. And she's saying, did you lock the car doors? And he automatically does it on his phone. So I do like that people, yeah, we can overcompensate for things. You just have to at some point let fate take its course and say it is what it is and let's have a good time that we're here. So, all right, we're going to pick a new question for you for next week. I haven't thought of it yet, but I will think about it. But I want you to think about this. We are talking now. We have it narrowed down to towards the end of September, a day trip to Carlsbad to the GIA, the Gemological Institute of America, and the Museum of Making Music. They're right there in Carlsbad, both right next to each other, but in between we'll go have lunch somewhere. So we are putting the details together now. I will let you know. I don't know the day. I don't know the price. All I know, we'll have a limited amount of people. I think the most we can have on this day trip is 45 people because the GIA is that even though they're open for tours, you have to schedule them. They're so popular that people, and they'll only take limited size groups in there, so we'll even break the group up that way. But it will be a limited amount of people able to go on this trip, so I will let you know as we get a little bit closer. If you do have an interest and want me to put you on the list, you can always send me an email through the website at francoiseroads@gmail.com or whatever all that there's. I think that's the link on there. There's also one at Fun. But don't send it to the contest entry page, please. Don't do that because I don't always look at that. Whale watching. They have a lot of whales out there right now. It is a perfect time to go whale watching with Dana Point. Sport fishing and whale watching in Dana Point. She's been sending pictures over all the time. They're seeing whales left and right out there with the babies. So, you know, go out there and take advantage of it. Go to their website first, which is danawharf.com. And make your reservations before you get there because they're really, really busy. Borrego Springs Resort and Spa, great place to go hide out, enjoy their air conditioning and their pools and their restaurants. You get away and just go and enjoy yourself. And don't forget Ave Maria Pilgrimage Tours. She has all these phenomenal tours that to the Holy Land, spiritual renewal, really a different type of experience. Take advantage of it. Go to their website, Ave Maria Pilgrimage. Remember, it is singular, not plural, because a lot of companies have copied that name and added an S to it. So she is the only one based here in the Coachella Valley, and they do some phenomenal trips on their own right there, along with Adult Customized Tours, ACT. They do different type of tours completely. Their King Tut day trip to the California Science Center sold out. 2 trips sold out. They're even thinking of a third one. They have a lot of fabulous international trips and lots of stuff going on out there in the world of travel. Remember, it's a busy season out there. Book anything you can in advance. I know it sort of tightens up your timeline on your travels when you have let's see, you're booked to go to a certain museum on a Thursday and you maybe want to stay in a place a couple more days, well, you have to give up one or the other there, because right now, otherwise you're going to be in long, long lines. So, all right, everyone, have a good one. I'll be back here. Sean and I both will be back here next week with some more new guests, some more new fun, and stay cool. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.